51551 is the text. You can tweet the program at RTE Arena. Federico Garcia Lorca is best known for his trilogy of rural plays, Yerma, The House of Bernarda Alba and Blood Wedding, which, as it happens, is currently playing on London's West End in a new version by our own Marina Carr. Well, the show Loco Por Lorca aims to celebrate the poetry of the Spanish writer whose murder at the start of the Spanish Civil War when he was just 38 years old remains one of that country's most disturbing mysteries. Loco Por Lorca was conceived by the musician Cormac Branagh, and Theo Dorgan is one of the writers taking part. Delighted to have both of them with me in studio this evening. Cormac Lorca, singer, musician, good pianist, I believe, at one point along the way. How did you come to appreciate his poetry and his plays and the man himself? This I love the background in your family and how this comes about.
Well, I can recall many discussion at a Sunday dinner with my parents. My mother's half Basque, half German. My father married her in Madrid in 1948, post-Second World War. Many of the discussion was about Lorca, and, you know, I was very young, and I remember looking at the book, his complete works, and... You know, like many things, they go to the back of your head. Hmm. And here I am at 56, you know, lurking.
Pulling them out of the front of your head. Now, what language were you looking at those books in? Because the linguistic mix in your family is interesting.
Well, my first language was Castilian, Spanish. But my mother, the rules of the house were Castilian with the mother, Irish with my father, and English was verboten. English was outside.
Was it forbidden in German?
My mother spoke, my mother was telling Sheila, you know, my mother spoke Spanish with, English with a German accent. So she never lost her German schooling in Madrid. Right. She went to a German school.
So basically it was Spanish, Irish, English outside. English. And obviously there was a little bit of German in there as well, was there?
Well, ich verstehe, man, sie spreche.
Fair enough. I'll believe you. I'm not sure whether I should or not, but clearly there's a facility either to make me believe you can speak German, or those who know German will know whether you can or not. Lorca, for you, Theo Dorgan, when does that connection happen?
Well, I suppose bits and pieces long ago. I never really made any great study of Lorca, but I was always aware of him as a kind of, I suppose, a shorthand for a particular quality in poetry. As I get older and crankier, I begin to insist more and more on the distinction between verse and poetry.
Oh.
And poetry is the stuff that 2 a.m. you say to yourself and the hairs stand up on the back of your neck. It's news from otherwhere. And it makes use of the ancient and very noble and respectable art of verse, the manipulation of sounds and of words and meanings. But there's an extra something. You know, it's... Van Morrison puts it lovely. What fascinates me in Lorca is the duende.
Explain the duende to us.
Well, if we could explain the duende, I'd be a very rich man. I'll tell you, I'll quote you what Lorca says. He says, the duende loves the edge, the wound, and it draws close to places where forms fuse and yearning. And it's about yearning, you know, that sense that we all have in our lives, that there must be more than this, or there is more than this, but you can't put your finger on it. You can taste it in the back of your throat, but you can't name it. I asked Brian Friel once how he knew he was ready to start a new play, and he said, well, you get a particular taste in the back of your tongue, and then you're away.
A little bit of the duende.
And the duende is, yeah, it's mysterious. Michael Hartnett had it. Heaney has some ferocious, I mean, like his poem Punishment, for instance, I mean, that's really there. And I loved that in Lorca, but...
When Lorca was talking about the duende, was he talking about something specific in terms of performance or the experience?
No, he was in the sense that he was absolutely heartsick for Andalusia all his life. And in Spain, Andalusia considers itself the natural birthplace and birth and burial place of the duende because of the gypsy tradition and so on. Nonetheless, when Lorca wrote the Gypsy Ballads, he was at pains to point out that this is anti-flamenco, anti-pictorial. He said, the gypsies and the gypsy energy is my theme and not my subject. So he was, you know, he saw the gypsies as an expression of the duende, which is natural to art in Andalusia, but not the soul possesses of it. I mean, you could say the land can have duende.
Yeah,
so a storm can have duende.
So it's a kind of an energy that, as you say, you can't describe. So was it a little injection of duende then that sent you off to conceive of this show, Cormac?
Well, you know, Thea and I were having a discussion about the 120th, the then 120th anniversary of Lorca's birth, and also the 80th anniversary of the Spanish Civil War. So we wanted to create a show which would touch on those. And also, during my journey, I learned a little bit more about Michael Hartnett from Theo and Paula. Mm. And I thought, well, what better way of connecting Michael Hartnett, who himself translated the Gypsy Ballads in the 1960s into English, probably the first.
And who in an earlier incarnation was, I'm quite certain, a Sevillano or from Cordoba in the 16th century, wandering out with his hand on the hilt of a sword, waiting to take offence at something. There was something very Spanish and, eerie
about Hartnett.
About Michael, who's 20 years dead. Yesterday.
Wow. That's right.
20 years went by in the blink of an eye. But Michael had duende.
And you took a number of poems of...
So what I did was, through Keith, I was introduced to Keith Payne, the poet who lives in Vigo, the Irish poet who lives in Vigo, and I left the selection of the poems entirely up to him. Armed with those poems, then I contacted my two Spanish musicians who are experts, as far as I'm concerned, on Spanish folk music, which is mostly portrayed in the show. Mm-hmm. And then we sat about arranging those songs with the poems. But also, I decided to choose, to honour Lorca, honour Lorca's music abilities, to choose some of the phrases from the poems and sing them to the melodies that we've chosen.
Now, the added bonus, if you like, here is that the translations are Oscuelga.
Well, Keith's original translation. Keith made fresh translations into English. And Keith, as you'll come to know over the years, and is a force of nature and a very fine poet.
Possesses but the duende, clearly.
He has Dublin streetwise duende. But he's become a great cultural force in Galicia, actually, organising festivals, translations, the thing. But he chose the poems. And one of them, actually, that he picked was one of the few things that Lorca wrote in Gallego, when he visited Galicia and spent some time there. But Cormac and I have worked together before, and it's very hard to say no to Cormac when he gets the bit between his teeth. So I agreed with some reluctance to have a go at translating these into
and
Irish.
So you used Keith's English translations to Irish, or did you go directly?
And the originals.
Right,
I know,
so
Keith's kind of a mix translations. But because, you see, I felt the Irish had to have a connection to the English translation as well as to the original. But I discovered that with French and with school Latin and a good dictionary, I was able to make a fair enough fist. I mean, I'm sure that I can stand over the translation and say they're accurate, but what I had to find was a sense inside the Irish language of answering it. So when I went on later to do the Gypsy Ballads, I wrote them as Chandos.
Yeah, because you have translated those.
Yeah, that's coming out next week.
That's another day's
this.
Work.
We'll stick with this one. But I tell you, I mean, I'd never translated anything into Irish before. I translated from the Irish, but not into Irish. So I had my heart and my mouth, but Cormac is fluent Irish and was brought
up. So you had a good back
support. And so I knew that I wouldn't do anything terribly foolish. But when we did that concert in the Residencia, Sheila Maguire, our wonderful ambassador in Madrid, helped to put all this together. She's a live wire. So here we are in the Residencia where Lorca had stayed, where Luis Buñuel had stayed, Salvador Dali, Einstein. I mean, this is an amazing place. Yeah. And the response of the audience to the translations into Irish knocked us all for six.
And you performed them in Irish. There was no Spanish equivalent.
No, the Spanish was there. The Spanish, the English and the Irish.
Yeah.
But they kept coming up and saying that it's translation into Irish, but the first translations they'd heard in any language that captured the spirit of the originals.
Right.
I mean, Laura García Lorca, his niece, was there. She had tears in her eyes. Ian Gibson, probably the world authority on Lorca, said, "What's a night of duende?" It was the way they responded to the Irish. It was
Let's get a sample then. You're going to Leg Don Juan doing it.
Yeah, Leg Me Kind of One. This is a translation of one he wrote in Gallego. Madrigal a de Ciudad de Santiago. So Madrigal de Chahar Santiago. Tashek Shilabashti Santiago, Mayan Vurnin. Eregnaton Green Lefechol, Liner Chamelius and Ihe. Tashek Shilabashti Santiago, Bostich Fana Hihe. Lahan Gert Arigid Mahirov, La Vucha Tasolus Nagali. Fech, Tan Vashtak Egg Tregan Esreitne, Egg Queen Glinne Esclicha. Fech, tan roi ex scoob oing, ska na mara agus an luhric. Skaha agus luhric atá idarige Santiago, e vad on grien, ishke on majinshin fado Santiago, eg lapadal harmachri.
Cormac Branagh there. I don't know what I have to call that. A fadog fada or some other particular.
Fadog Ishil.
A fadog Ishil, yeah. So it is an Irish instrument. Was it a Spanish tune that we were listening to there, Cormac?
Yes, absolutely. It was called El Habanero del Diablo Cojuelo, which as could be loosely translated as the devil, the limping dancer.
The limping dancer. A glapadoil. Yeah, that final sentence that you had in the poem that preceded it.
Lapadol, you know?
Yeah.
In the Gallego, it's a trema no meo corazón.
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily knew the Eglapadol word, Osgiliga, but I understood it.
Well, I have this theory that if they'd make me Minister for Justice for 48 hours, I could have the whole country speaking Irish. Just make it illegal with on-the-spot fines to speak it in public. Because we all have it. We've spent 12 years learning it in school. It needs a trigger. And, you know, the way the Irish mind works, making it illegal will probably be the trigger you could have.
I'm wondering what we might get from this show that would give us a sense of the Lorca that people know, the Lorca that they know from the three big plays in particular, the Lorca they know that was, you know, executed, murdered, whatever word you want to use, at the beginning of the Spanish Civil War, and whose body has never been found. What aspects of Lorca, what part of that story do you think we'll get in this show, Cormac?
Well, the poetry ranges from 1921 to 1935. The common theme of Lorca is for me, longing, loss, fear of death, fear of dying. I suppose my job as a musician, and our job as a musician, is to provide lifting of the hearts, and also to complement the poetry. So in that regard, I had great joy with meeting with my Spanish musicians. And
so there are three of you on the night, is it?
There's four of us
four
on the
of
night.
Four of us,
beg your pardon. Cormac the Bar on the harp, another Irish, who came into the project late in the day. And then there's Jaime Munoz and Carlos Pechero, who are just arriving into Dublin Airport now. It is really to them I owe a great deal of gratitude for providing the folk music that we are playing.
All right. And you've had the poem that we heard there. How many others of yours are in there, Theo? And
there's three. And then there's also a quite beautiful translation at Cormac's dad.
All right.
And that's included as a La Luna Asoma. Is it on Gaelic Gluhir? Nor a gobbin on the is on Ray, Kalter na Cligini is Vector Boherini at Doch Hulta.
You know, well, give me the poem Gohomlon in a minute, actually, if you wouldn't mind finishing up. But people can see, let me say where people can. Well, I can say that after you give us that translation. This was something, obviously, a way of
remembering your father, Cormac, I presume.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, Keith and Theo humoured me. And of course, you know...
We didn't humour you. Well, it makes a perfectly valid contribution. Yeah, yeah.
I think it is a very good
point. It's a better translation than the other Irish translations, I can tell you.
Well, you know, there's no Irish word for no, which is clearly what you both found out when you were asked a question by each other or asked to do something. Yeah. Let's finish up by listening to then Cormac's father's own translation, if you wouldn't mind, Theo, and then I'll give the details of where people can catch the show.
It's called An Gealach Luchiach. Nor a gobbin an ias an rae, cailtar na cligini is fector boherini at hadda hulta. Nor a gobbin an ias an rae, cludian an weir an tiris, mohitar an cream ar ilans an infinite. Or ashti nihe an enye, fwin yalach lan, agus slan turhi glasa airta. Nor a gobbin an ias an rae, lena caed aedan, tasian sasparan, osnil huil na maun. I love that. Mar Elans an infinite, an island in infinity.
Beautiful stuff.
Which is lovely because, I mean, this is where Cormac's dad is. He's on an island in infinity.
Cairde Banam da Dahar Rish.
Jasun Branagh.
Jasun Branagh. Yeah. Jasun Branagh. La Luna Asoma. And it was Jasun's translation that we heard there read for us by Theo Dorgan. If you want to hear more of the same and music to accompany, Loca Por Lorca plays at Rathfarnham Castle, October the 16th. Seamus Heaney Home Place, October the 17th. Mermaid Arts Centre in Bray, October the 18th. Farmley House, Dublin, the 19th. And Centro Federico Garth the Alarca in Granada on November the 7th for our Spanish listeners this evening, and you can find out full details on cormacbrathnock.com.